Here's your fair value brief for Tuesday, July 21, 2026. The 30-second takeaway. Bond traders are calling the Fed's bluff. The gap between 10-year and 2-year Treasury yields just hit 38 basis points, the widest in months, as markets price in rate cuts even though inflation is stuck at 3.5% and the Fed's benchmark rate sits at 3.63. If this standoff drags on, expect ripple effects in stocks and mortgages. Over in China, AI ambitions are hitting a wall. Moonshot AI's new Kimi K3 model, supposedly better than US rivals, had to pause new signups after burning through its GPU supply in just 48 hours. A sharp reminder that even cutting-edge AI still depends on scarce chips. And commodities are surging, but not for good reasons. Copper jumped 3.6% to $6.52 a pound, and silver spiked 4.7% to $59.45 an ounce. Traders say it's geopolitical jitters driving the gains, not economic strength. Now, to the big story. The Fed and bond markets are locked in a high-stakes game of chicken over rate cuts. Bond traders are betting the Federal Reserve will blink first. The 10-year Treasury yield held steady at 4.55% Monday, while the 2-year dipped to 4.18, pushing their spread to 38 basis points, the widest in months. Historically, that kind of gap signals the Fed's about to ease up. But here's the problem. The Fed isn't even hinting at a cut. Federal Reserve Chair Kevin Warsh doubled down Monday, saying inflation, still at 3.5%, remains the top priority. Cleveland Fed President Beth Hammack went further, suggesting rates might actually need to rise if prices keep climbing. So why are traders so convinced cuts are coming? Two big reasons. First, growth is slowing. June's industrial production dropped, and consumer spending is losing steam. Second, recession risks are climbing. If the Fed keeps rates restrictive too long, traders worry it could choke the economy entirely. This clash is now the defining tension in markets. Bonds are pricing and easing. The Fed is talking about tightening. Someone's going to be wrong. If the central bank stands firm, we could see the yield curve flatten, triggering sell-offs in rate-sensitive tech stocks and pushing mortgage rates higher. But if the Fed caves, bonds would rally, though inflation could flare up again, damaging the Fed's credibility. Energy's making things even messier. Brent crude has climbed 15% this month to $89.59 a barrel. Higher oil feeds into inflation, giving the Fed more reason to stay tough. But if crude pulls back, the inflation story softens, and suddenly, the bond market's bet on cuts starts looking a lot smarter. Here's the level to watch, that 10-year, 2-year spread. If it widens past 40 basis points, the cuts are coming, trade gains serious traction. If it narrows below 30, the Fed stance wins out. Either way, stocks and mortgages will feel the impact. Now here's what's moving today. Markets are trying to navigate that Fed bond divide. U.S. equity futures pointed higher Tuesday, with AI-related stocks bouncing back after days of selling. NASDAQ futures rose 1.4%, while the S&P gained 0.6%. But don't be fooled by the calm. The VIX volatility index is still up 6.4% for the week. Traders aren't relaxing, they're just repositioning. The real action is in treasuries. That 10-year yield stayed at 4.55, while the 2-year slipped to 4.18, keeping the spread at 38 basis points. The bond market's message is clear, rate cuts are on the way. The Fed, though, keeps signaling the opposite. That gap is today's biggest risk. If the Fed holds its line, stocks could take another hit as traders adjust. If the central bank hints at dovishness, bonds would rally, but inflation might reignite. Tech's trying to recover. AI leaders Nvidia and AMD both rose over 1.5% in pre-market trading, though the sector's still down about 9% since early June. The big question, is this a real rebound? Or just a brief bounce. Earnings this week from Alphabet, Tesla, and Meta will give us clues. And China's AI push just ran into a hardware wall. Moonshot AI's Kimi K3 model. Benchmarks show it outperforming US systems like GPT-5.6, had to stop accepting new users after demand exhausted its GPU supply in just 2 days. The takeaway? Even the most advanced AI depends on physical chips, and China's access to top-tier semiconductors is still restricted by U.S. export rules. Bottom line for today, we've got bond traders betting on a Fed pivot versus a central bank laser focused on inflation. Tech stocks are attempting a comeback, but their path depends on earnings. Watch the 10-year yield and oil prices. They'll show which side has the upper hand. Now, the big picture. This Fed bond tension is reshaping the economic outlook. Markets are split right now. Bond traders expect Federal Reserve rate cuts, but the central bank's prioritizing inflation. That 10-year Treasury yield at 4.55, with the 2-year at 4.18, gives us a 38 basis point spread, a classic signal that easing's ahead. But the Fed disagrees. Chair Kevin Warsh insists price stability comes first, with core inflation still at 3.5. This mismatch is the biggest market risk right now. If the Fed keeps rates steady, the yield curve could flatten, forcing equities to reprice and mortgage rates to climb. If the Fed caves, bonds would rally, but inflation could bounce back. Stocks are searching for stability. The Nasdaq's dropped 2.3% over 5 sessions, while the S&P's down 1%. Tech stocks, especially AI names like Nvidia and AMD, have led the decline. Futures suggest a possible rebound today, but earnings this week from Alphabet, Tesla, and Meta will be the real test. Strong AI-driven results could steady the sector, weak numbers would extend the slide. Commodities are adding another layer of uncertainty. Copper prices jumped 3.6% to $6.52 a pound Monday, and silver surged 4.7% to $59.45 an ounce. Normally, moves like that would signal strong demand, but this time, it's all about supply issues. Geopolitical tensions and mining disruptions have tightened supply chains. Then there's oil. Brent crude's up 15% this month to $89.59 a barrel. If prices stay high, it'll feed inflation and give the Fed more reason to stay hawkish. If crude pulls back, the inflation story softens, and the bond market's bet on cuts starts looking smarter. Here's what to track today. That 10-year Treasury yield above 4.6 would support the Fed holds view. Below 4.5 favors the easing trade. Oil prices, Brent at $89.59 is already pressuring inflation. Above 90 complicates the Fed's position. And tech earnings, reports from Alphabet, Tesla, and Meta will show whether the AI sector's sell-off is over or just paused. Around the world, geopolitical strains are disrupting key supply chains. Weakened escalations in the Middle East rattled energy markets, shipping routes, and tech supply chains. Iran launched its first direct strike on U.S. facilities in Syria since February, prompting American airstrikes in response. The conflict's already disrupted traffic through the Strait of Hormuz, a critical choke point for 25% of global seaborne oil, with major energy firms halting shipments. Here's the surprising part. Oil prices barely moved. Brent crude edged up just 0.4% Tuesday to $89.59 a barrel, despite the strait's importance. Traders seem to expect a short-lived disruption, but if this drags on, fuel prices could spike, adding another inflation headache for central banks. Meanwhile, China's AI progress just hit a hardware ceiling. Moonshot AI's Kimi K3 model, a 2.8 trillion parameter system that benchmarks show surpassing U.S. alternatives, had to pause new signups after demand exhausted its GPU capacity in 48 hours. The lesson? Even the most sophisticated AI relies on physical chips, and China's access to advanced semiconductors is still limited by U.S. export controls. In Europe, the European Central Bank meets Thursday, with rates expected to stay at 2.4%. No change is likely, but traders will parse President Christine Lagarde's press conference for any policy hints. The euro's trading at 1.1426 Tuesday, but any dovish tone could weaken it further. And Taiwan just cleared regulatory hurdles for Starlink, allowing Elon Musk's satellite internet service to expand in a region facing growing pressure from Beijing. The move strengthens Taiwan's digital infrastructure and deepens the U.S.-China tech rivalry. Bottom line, the Middle East conflict is the immediate flashpoint, but the bigger story is how geopolitical tensions are reshaping global supply chains, from oil tankers to chip production. Oil movements and the ECB signals will drive action today. Now, the company's making news. Tech's trying to find its footing amid all this Fed uncertainty. AI stocks showed early signs of recovery after weeks of declines. Nvidia rose 1.6% in pre-market trading, and AMD climbed 1.9%, lifting Nasdaq futures by 1.4%. But the sector is still down about 9% since early June, and this rebound could fade if earnings disappoint. Tesla's slide continues. Shares fell 3% Monday to $369.57, extending the monthly loss to 8.8%. Weak electric vehicle demand and Elon Musk's focus on AI and robot access are weighing on the stock. This week's earnings report is pivotal. Proof of progress in robotaxi development or cost cuts could stabilize shares. Without it, the decline may continue. BlackRock's making a big bet on Meta's AI expansion. The asset manager's leading a $12 billion financing package for Meta's new Texas data centers, signaling confidence in the company's AI strategy. The deal also highlights just how much capital the AI race requires. Meta's earnings will reveal whether this bet looks smart or risky. Strong AI revenue growth could justify the investment. Weak results would raise questions. Oracle's struggles are deepening. Shares dropped another 4% Monday to $121.38, bringing the one-month decline to 31%. The sell-off followed weaker-than-expected cloud growth, raising doubts about its ability to compete with Microsoft and Amazon in AI infrastructure. Vår Energi's boosting its European gas holdings. The Norwegian energy firm agreed to buy BlueNord for $1.3 billion, expanding its position in European natural gas. The deal reflects a bet on sustained long-term demand, even as Europe accelerates its shift to renewables. And Midi Group shares jumped 40% after the UK facilities management company agreed to a $4.2 billion acquisition by OCS. The deal underscores ongoing consolidation and outsourcing, where scale helps win large contracts. From Washington, the Federal Reserve's holding its hawkish line, for now. The message remains clear: no rate cuts anytime soon. Cleveland Fed President Beth Hammack stressed over the weekend that inflation is still too high and rates might even need to rise, a hawkish tone that clashes with bond markets expecting easing. The central bank's logic is simple. With core inflation at 3.5 and labor markets tight, there's no rush to cut. But here's the balancing act. Keep rates restrictive too long, and you risk recession. Cut too soon, and inflation could flare up again. There's a deeper question here. Are the Fed's traditional tools losing some effectiveness? That spread between 10-year and 2-year Treasury yields has preceded every recession since 1955. Now at 38 basis points and widening, it suggests markets expect slowing growth. Yet Fed Chair Kevin Warsh has moved away from forward guidance, making the central bank's next moves harder to predict. That uncertainty itself may become the biggest market driver. Meanwhile, the White House faces a new tech challenge: China's rapid AI progress. U.S. AI executives warn that Chinese developments, like Moonshot AI's Kimi K3, are closing the gap with American systems. The administration's divided on how to respond. Some push for stricter semiconductor export controls, while others caution that excessive restrictions could speed up China's push for chip self-sufficiency. Bottom line, the Fed's focused on inflation, but bond markets aren't convinced. The White House is grappling with China's tech advances. The 10-year Treasury yield and any Fed comments will set the tone this week. Under the hood, the bond market's defiance is testing the Fed's authority. That spread between 10-year and 2-year Treasury yields widened to 38 basis points Monday, the bond market's strongest signal, yet that traders expect Federal Reserve rate cuts. But the central bank isn't budging. Core inflation's at 3.5, and Fed Chair Kevin Warsh continues to prioritize price stability over growth. This standoff is the most consequential dynamic in markets today. Three possible outcomes. 1. The bond market's view wins out. A widening term spread has historically signaled recession within 12 to 18 months. Traders are pricing in slower growth and expecting the Fed to cut rates preemptively. 2. The Fed's position holds. Warsh and other officials see inflation as the bigger threat. They've indicated willingness to keep rates higher for longer, even if growth slows. 3. The collision. If the Fed stands firm, the term spread could narrow, forcing equities, especially rate-sensitive tech stocks, to reprice and mortgage rates to rise. If the Fed gives in, bonds would rally, but inflation could pick up again. Energy's complicating things. Brent crude has surged 15% this month to $89.59 a barrel. Higher oil feeds into consumer inflation, giving the Fed more reason to stay tough. If crude retreats, though, the inflation argument weakens, and the bond market's easing bet looks more plausible. Credit markets offer early warnings. Investment-grade corporate bond spreads are at 78 basis points, near their tightest levels of the year. This suggests investors aren't yet pricing in major credit risk. But if the Fed overtightens and growth stalls, those spreads could widen fast, making borrowing costlier for businesses and consumers. Here's the critical level to watch: that 10-year, 2-year spread. Above 40 basis points strengthens the easing trade. Below 30 supports the Fed stance. The outcome will determine the direction for stocks, bonds, and mortgages. Now, worth learning today, commodities, the stuff the economy's built on. Commodities, oil, gold, copper, wheat, are the raw materials that power everything we make, use, and consume. Because they're the foundation of nearly all manufacturing and production, their price swings create economic ripples that most people miss. Here are the 4 key commodity pillars. 1. Crude oil, Brent, and WTI. The world's most vital commodity fuels transportation, manufacturing, and farming. When oil prices rise, gasoline gets more expensive, shipping costs climb, and inflation builds. Brent crude's at $89.59 a barrel right now, up 15% this month, a big reason for higher pump prices and why central banks watch energy so closely. 2. Gold, the classic safe haven asset. During crises or when the dollar weakens, investors turn to gold. It doesn't pay interest, but it holds value over time. Gold's trading at $4,069.70 an ounce Tuesday, up 1.5%. It also acts as an inflation hedge. When consumer prices rise, gold usually appreciates. 3. Copper, the metal powering the green energy shift. Essential for wiring, batteries, and renewable systems, copper traded at $6.52 a pound Monday, up 3.6%. The recent jump reflects supply shortages, not demand growth. Mining disruptions in Chile and Peru, plus geopolitical tensions, have squeezed global supply. 4. Agricultural commodities, wheat, corn, soybeans. The backbone of global food systems. Drought, conflict, or trade restrictions can send prices soaring and grocery bills climbing. Wheat futures have been especially sensitive to the Black Sea conflict and Indian export policies. Commodities trade in 2 main ways: spot markets for immediate physical delivery at current prices, and futures contracts, agreements to buy or sell at set prices on future dates. Market players use futures to manage risk. Airlines lock in fuel costs, farmers secure grain prices, and investors bet on price moves. Unlike stocks, commodities don't generate cash flow. Their value depends entirely on supply and demand. Why this matters to investors? First, the inflation link. Rising commodity prices feed directly into consumer inflation, and central banks track oil and copper as leading indicators. Second, diversification. Commodities often move opposite to stocks. When equities fall, gold or oil may rise, balancing portfolios. And third, everyday impact. From gas prices to grocery costs, commodity markets affect household budgets. The volatility factor. Commodities are uniquely sensitive to geopolitics, weather, and policy shifts. Unlike stocks, their value reflects global supply-demand fundamentals, not company performance. And here's the connection to past lessons. Remember our inflation discussion? Commodity prices are a primary way price pressures spread. When oil jumps, the effects ripple through transportation, manufacturing, and food costs, showing how this stuff economy drives consumer prices. Now, tomorrow's prediction prompt. We're watching the UK climate count change, scheduled for Wednesday. Consensus expects 29.4 thousand new claimants, down slightly from the prior 31.2 thousand. Here's what to think about. Which asset would react most directly? The British pound, the FTSE 100, or gold? How would each likely move if the number comes in higher than expected, signaling a weaker job market? And how would they react if it's lower than expected, pointing to a stronger job market? What's the mechanism behind each reaction? We'll analyze the actual release and market response in tomorrow's edition. Here's what to watch this week. Today, Tuesday, July 21st, the UK climate count change. Higher claims could weaken sterling and UK stocks. Wednesday, July 22nd, UK CPI year over year. A higher reading might push the Bank of England toward more rate hikes. Also, Australian employment change. Weak jobs data could pressure the Aussie dollar. Thursday, July 23rd, the European Central Bank's rate decision. Rates are expected to hold at 2.4%, but President Lagarde's comments could hint at future moves. Plus, the U.S. 10-year Treasury note auction, strong demand would push yields down, weak demand could lift them. Friday, July 24th, the first read on second quarter U.S. GDP. A weak number could amplify recession fears and support bonds. That's your brief. We'll be back tomorrow with the answers on how those UK job numbers move the markets.